I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia, at thecommentary.ca. One of the more robust cultural touchstones is making its way to Vancouver next week. Golden Girls, The Laughs Continue, is a stage show bringing back the unforgettable characters from the 1980s hit sitcom to 2024. It's got an all-male cast. Ryan Bernier is Dorothy, Adam Graber as Rose, Christopher Cam as Sophia, and Vince Kelly, who joins me now, as Blanche. This show has been traveling across the United States with sold-out performances and rave reviews, making for a fine tribute to a beloved sitcom. I'll get Vince to preview the show to tell us where the girls find themselves in 2024's Miami and the hilarity that ensues as there's a drug ring and a dating app. Vince Kelly is a Detroit native who joined me from his hometown last week. He attended the American Musical and Dramatic Academy and the New School. I'll ask him about portraying the Southerner Blanche and what it's like to pay tribute to Rue McClanahan nightly. I'll also ask Vince about his own experience watching the Golden Girls growing up. Visit goldengirlstour.com for tickets and information. It'll be at the Vancouver Playhouse starting next Tuesday, the 12th of November, running until November 16th. Please welcome to the Planta Online program, Vince Kelly. Mr. Kelly, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. What was your introduction, Vince, to the Golden Girls show?
Well, the Golden Girls and I both debuted the same year, 1985. So I kind of grew up with it. I spent a lot of time with my grandmother, and she used to watch the show every week. So by the time I was like, you know, 4, 5, 6, I was aware of it. I knew, but obviously I didn't understand any of the jokes. But my grandma would be watching it, and she would be cracking up. So I obviously just thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And I used to call it the old lady show. So I'd come over and I go, "Oh, Nana, we watch old lady show," and she'd say, "No, it's not on right now. We have to wait." So that's what I thought it was. So then, you know, as I grew up, the Golden Girls kept finding new homes, kind of following with me. You know, I used to watch Nickelodeon when I was, like, in junior high and stuff. And then they started on Nick at Night and TV Land. So I started watching them there. And then the Hallmark Channel, when I was in college, I remember it would just be on all the time in the background while I was doing work and stuff. And then now it's on Hulu finally. So just all along my life, they've kind of been there in the background.
Yeah, in Canada, where you'll be shortly, it's on Disney Plus. And the thing about streaming is that when a show hits streaming, a show like The Golden Girls or any of the sitcoms that we grew up with, say, they get a new audience. And when they get a new audience, it just takes off, doesn't it? And The Golden Girls, you know, it's been off the air more than 30 years now. It's finding new audiences all the time, isn't it?
All the time. I mean, it is such a, in its DNA, it's a multi-generational show. So I love the fact that, like, there's so many people that we'll talk to. They'll come up to our little meet and greet and they'll say, "I watch this with my mom all the time," and, "Oh, this was me and my grandma's show," and, "Oh, my aunt and I." So I love that part of it. You know, right in the show, there's a mother and daughter there that they're central in the show. So yeah, we love that it just keeps finding a new generation to grow along with it.
And then a stage show seems like it's just a real natural fit for the show, because I remember reading as I was preparing for our chat here in the 80s, even when the show was still on the air, there were touring productions, stage shows of the Golden Girls that were going around, say, Europe, even in England. That's how popular the show is, isn't it?
Yeah, specifically in England. So the Queen was such a fan of the show, the late Queen, that she, for a Royal Variety performance, asked if the girls would come over. The actual actresses came over and do a live episode for the Royal Variety. Yeah. And they did for the Queen, and it was so cool. There's, like, some footage of it, and they all got to meet her and stuff. So yeah, even they themselves, you know, took to the stage. They all have, you know, stage backgrounds. All Rue McClanahan and Bea Arthur and Isabel Getty all started in New York on the stage. So bringing the girls back to the stage definitely feels like a natural progression, a right next step.
And so this production that you're starring in, even though this show was set in the 80s, and I'm sure when people go to the Vogue Theater here in Vancouver, it'll look like the 80s, the show is very much set in 2024, isn't it?
Very much so. It's as if the show never went off the air. They just kind of kept going on. So, yeah, the set's the same. The costumes are the same, just to give you that, like, you know, fun jolt of nostalgia. But then, you know, they open their mouths and they're talking about apps and, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and the issues of 2024. So it's a fun juxtaposition that the audience, like, immediately gets behind.
So I read that you're from Michigan. How is it for you getting that southern accent?
It's fun. I think I have it pretty easy. I think Rose, the actor who plays Adam, that Betty White accent is specific. So I feel kind of easy. I've always fancied myself as like a tragic, you know, Southern belle. So that was very easy.
And the clothes, I mentioned, you know, the costumes look like they're from the 80s, from the stills that I've seen of this production. What is it like for you to get into that? Because the clothes are not, well, I shouldn't say that. I mean, I'm sure there are people around who dress like Blanche.
Yeah. Well, you know what's fun?
Do you feel myself more Blanche when you're in the garb, say?
100%. So I do the costumes for the production. It's kind of what I started. I went to school for acting and musical theater and all that stuff. And then, you know, just to, something to do. Since in my downtime, I do a lot of costuming. So I was fortunate enough to be able to costume this production. So just that is so much fun for me. But it's funny. We had about a month off in the summer. We took the summer off, you know, took some time, you know, see our friends and family and stuff, and we got back on the road, and it was really the longest I had not done the show for almost a year. Mm-hmm. So we did a rehearsal to get back in, and I just was like, ugh, I like couldn't get it in. I was like, where's the voice? Like, that's so weird. It was super foreign and really weird, and I was having a hard time. And Adam, who plays Rose, he said, why don't you go put on your shoes, like your character, your costume shoes, and see if that helps you. And I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my whole life. And I went and put my shoes on, and like 3 seconds later, I was like, and she's here. So I completely agree. The costume can really help you transform. When you're walking around, you got those big shoulder pads on, you know, you carry yourself a little differently. So it's a lot easier to kind of find that character, the walk and the way that she holds her body and stuff. So I as a costumer and just as an actor, I totally think that those are two things that go hand in hand.
And the thing about Blanche is that she walked a certain, she, I was going to say she walked Southern, but there is a way that she walks that the other girls, that they don't walk the way she does, right?
Yeah, she holds all of her, you know, sexuality or sensuality, if you will, in her shoulders. It's the, you know, she's always, you know, it's all there. She walks with her shoulders and she talks with them and she uses them to, you know, flirt and stuff, so it has been fun to kind of figure that all out, watching the show and, you know, putting your own kind of spin on it so that you can do it, you know, 8 times a week. But yeah, she's a very fascinating lady.
So you'll be in Vancouver for several performances. I was looking over the website, and there are a lot of one-nighters on this tour. That must be hard when you're going from one town to the other through the week.
We got it down to a science, really. We started the bus tour last January. Mm-hmm. We launched it, and it was a little daunting at first, but we just have such a great team, and everyone, you know, it's down to such a science. You know, the curtain goes down, and the actors know, all right, let's pack up our costumes, let's get our wigs in their boxes, and then the set crew kind of gets going. So I enjoy the one night because, you know, we've been doing these sit-downs for the last few months. We were just in Phoenix for a couple of weeks. We were in Fort Lauderdale for about a month. Yeah. And it's fun. It's really nice to just have all your clothes in a drawer instead of in a suitcase. You know, obviously that's a fun aspect of it. But our show is, it changes every night. You know, we have a lot of improv in it, and we make it really specific to where we're at.
I see.
You know, there's a lot of references to the area and, you know, the weather and the different things that, you know, the people in the audience can truly, truly understand and make it feel like this show has been specially created just for them. It's such an important part for the actors. Like, it's that aspect of the show. So when we're in one place for a long time, I'll admit it, for us, the way that we do our show, it kind of gets stale. So we love the moving around and being able to experience different things, and especially for us, you know, none of us are from Canada, and none of us have had the pleasure and the opportunity to perform in Canada yet, so it's been so exciting kind of doing the research. You know, we're like, all right, we're going to Nanaimo. What's going on there? What are they dealing with? What are their problems? How do they, you know, what are the things that they're experiencing and stuff? So it's really fun to look into that, and obviously Vancouver is such a fun destination, so we're super excited to, you know, see what that's about and see what that audience is like and that kind of stuff. Give them a fun, fresh show every night.
And that must be fun to think about all these places that you'll be going through that you've been to already and see just how enthusiastic people are about these characters especially.
Oh, yeah. The love is, like, so deep, and it's almost a little daunting, you know, because it is so revered. I mean, people identify these characters. You know, if you have a group of friends, somebody's going to say, oh, I'm the Rose, I'm the Blanche, I'm the Dorothy, I'm the Sophia. You know, they really identify them with them, and they're a comfort to them because the show has been on so long. It becomes, you know, your comfort show, and you put it on before you go to bed. So people hold them in a high regard. So then when you have people portraying them, and then, you know, I'll add the fact that we are male performers, you know, doing a little tribute to four of our favorite actresses. It also has another level of, you know, the risk is at, you know, hiked up a little bit. So when we do have the opportunity to meet these people in the meet and greet, and they're like so over the moon excited, and they're, you sound just like them, and it's like I was watching the show, and, you know, I've seen every episode 100 times, but this was an episode I never got to see. It's super, super fun to experience that.
I read somewhere, Vince, that one of your favorite episodes is Ladies of the Evening, which
yeah.
I think has one of the best cameos in sitcom history. At the end of it, Burt Reynolds shows up.
I know.
And
one did you say was the slut?
Yeah, exactly. And just the delivery, and even if you don't know anything about the Golden Girls, that, I don't know how long that is, a minute and a half. That says a lot about the show itself. I mean, you don't really need to see the show. You know who the characters are, I guess that's one of your favorites. I mean, are there other ones that come to mind that you watch over and over again, say?
Yeah, I love that one. You know, when we have a week or two off or something like that, I tend to go back to, there's an episode where Blanche and Dorothy go to Blanche's favorite bar, the Rusty Anchor, and, you know, Dorothy was kind of feeling down on herself, and Blanche was like, let's take you for a little pick-me-up, and it's an episode where Dorothy kind of sings at the Rusty Anchor, showing off Bea Arthur's musical theater skills, and she becomes the center of attention, and Blanche is kind of like left behind, and she does this great physical comedy bit where she lays on top of the piano, and she falls off, and her shoe goes off and stuff, but it's kind of this one time in the show where you see Blanche kind of slip. You know, she's not the center of attention, and she's playing against the character that has been created for her, and Dorothy's in the spotlight, and she has a lovely moment where, you know, she realizes Dorothy deserves this, and they have, like, a really great time. So it's this episode where everything that you think that you know about Blanche is kind of turned upside down, and I often go back to that one because, you know, it's super easy to just play a caricature or, you know, the stereotypes of, you know, the slutty, sexy, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's super important to see when a character can go the opposite and play against the type that's been created for them and find, you know, new levels of, you know, her humanity and her love for her friends and all those other things. And I love that episode for that.
Yeah, do you get to sing at all in the show?
I don't get to sing. Dorothy does a little number. Spoiler alert, Dorothy does a little number. I do not, unfortunately, but maybe one day. Maybe one day.
And I guess the other thing that I should note is that this is an 18-plus show. So even if you're a young person who likes this show, I guess you're warned ahead of time that it's probably not for you, right?
Stick to the reruns until you turn 18, and then we'll have your birthday at the show.
You know, you said something earlier, Vince, that I found interesting. That and I found this when I used to watch a show with my grandmother. When you're a kid, a lot of these jokes go over your head, and then it's only later
Absolutely.
On when you watch it as an adult, you know, you realize how it works on so many levels. Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's just that's how robust the show is, isn't it?
Exactly. The show is super. The writing was just so great. Obviously, as we all know, they, you know, won handfuls of Emmys for all the different aspects of it. So we know that the show is just well written to begin with. But yeah, it was such a topical show, which is, I think, part of its hallmark. You know, you had these four older women who you'd think they could have just been up there doing Metamucil jokes the whole time and making it all about aging. But these were four, I use big quotes. I mean, at that time they thought that they were ancient, but they were just in their 50s and 60s, which is, you know, young and vibrant now. But, you know, so they were talking about what was happening today. You know, they weren't just sitting down reading novels. They were experiencing newspapers, so they would be constantly talking. You know, if you watch an episode today, there's probably going to be one or two references where you're going to go, I don't even know what that means. And you Google it, and you're like, oh, my God, in 1986, you know, this thing happened, and it was in the news cycle for 20 minutes, and everyone forgot about it, but they wrote about it on that show. So that's why it's so important, you know, in our show, we can't just do a tribute episode and talk about things that were happening in the 80s. It has to be what's going on right now, you know, who's the celebrities of today and who's this and who's that, you know, what are the things that people are talking about. So that's why I think our show feels like an episode, because even though it's in 30 years down the line, it's still on the same formula.
Indeed, indeed. Vince, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. Safe travels and break a leg, as they say. Appreciate your time today.
No, thank you so much. I can't express to you how much we are so excited to come to Vancouver. As, you know, just like a little group of Americans, we are so excited to experience the city and the audiences, and it's a real, real treat for us. We've been looking forward to this for a long time.
The website for more is at goldengirlstour.com. Golden Girls, the laughs continue. Is at the Vancouver Playhouse starting next Tuesday, the 12th of November, running through to November 16th. Vince Kelly, one of the stars of the show, joined me on the line from Detroit. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.